Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin Chapter. Dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
Support for WPR comes from the Stevens Point area, offering a variety of getaway experiences, itineraries and ideas for beer lovers, foodies, outdoor recreation fans, and more are at StevensPointArea.com.
May 12th marks poet Laureen Niedecker's 111th birthday. The critically acclaimed poet spent much of her life in Fort Atkinson. Poet Emily Lindemann tells us about one of her non-poetry works, a personal cookbook.
I first discovered it on the Friends of Laureen Niedecker website, and it caught my attention right away. I think the first quote from Laureen in her handwriting was included. She writes, "The fact that I don't know much about the subject of cooking should entitle me to write a book about it," and then signs her name Laureen. She started creating it in 1963 and then finished it in 1964, so it really takes place her first year of marriage to Al Millen. When you open up the book, it sometimes reads like a little playbook, a little script between her and Al. And I'm thinking this was their first year of marriage, so they were experimenting in the kitchen, trying to figure out what it meant to be living together as husband and wife and trying to cook up these concoctions and share their knowledge with one another. I'm guessing these were tidbits of things they would say to one another. For example, when the book starts out, they're talking about bacon. She says, "First, bacon, at once the cool, crisp core of cooking and the fatty fruit of life. Without it, one does not even get up in the morning," says Al. So I'm sure that's something he actually said. But on the other hand, I believe she's making herself and Al into characters. It's this really interesting mix of sometimes home remedies, sometimes reflections, and there are some recipes. Like, there's a section of the book where Laureen delights in cooking that involves alcohol, like whiskey cake and a cherry dish, and other times it will be some musings on their life together. It's very playful as a whole, very fun and witty. You know, and these aren't distinct recipes. It's not like with a cookbook where we would get directions for the temperature and the cooking time and exact amounts of ingredients. These are just kind of sketches of dishes that seem to work out well together and bits of history. And you know, the food isn't always very practical. It's not like she's trying to share this with other housewives and other families and giving them some quick cooking advice. It's more like a poet looking at the kitchen. Laureen outright says at the beginning that she doesn't consider herself much of a cook. In fact, she says that before she gets married, she made biscuits with whipping cream, and she kind of laughs at that, and she seems to even emphasize that she seems to be proud that she isn't much of a housewife. I have not, not following the recipes, but I did concoct a whiskey cake. I'm not much of a cook myself, but I guess that's why another reason I identify with Laureen.
Emily Lindemann is a poet and teaches at Silver Lake College. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Find more Wisconsin Life on Wisconsin Public Television. The TV series airs Monday nights at 8. Now we continue our conversation about Wisconsin poet Laureen Niedecker with biographer Margot Peters. She's the author of Laureen Niedecker, A Poet's Life. Margot, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much, Rob.
So how much of a household name was Laureen as a poet?
I wouldn't call her a household name at all. She's always been a poet's poet, and yet I would emphasize the ripple effect of her poetry and her influence and her mystique ever going wider and wider and wider circles.
What was her poetry like?
Her poetry was concise, terse, rational, and yet very emotional, full of feeling, too. When she had more time to write, after she married Al Millen, who has been mentioned, her poetry became longer. She wrote several long poems, like North Central. And because she had time. Otherwise, she had to work for a living. She was very, very poor. She's a phenomenon. She grew up in isolation, really, in not Fort Atkinson to Black Hawk Island, which is near Fort Atkinson. And what I mean about isolation is that she really did not know any really influential or important poet in her lifetime. She had no connection.
Can you read us one of her poems?
Yes. This is a poem, seven lines, typical Lorraine, brief, called Wilderness. You are the man. You are my other country, and I find it hard going. You are the prickly pear. You are the sudden, violent storm, the torrent to raise the river, to float the wounded doe.
I read a lot of the poetry, a lot of short poems by her working up to this. That seems pretty representative, short, a lot of, I don't know, a lot of wit there. Mm-hmm. Was that a good representative one, do you think?
I think it is, yes. Very concrete, but tense, terse, but the feeling underneath, you know. You are the torrent, the sudden violet storm, the torrent to raise the wounded doe, which is herself, of course. And the poem is, it doesn't matter particularly, but the poem is about Al Millen, and she found marriage with him both exhilarating and very, very difficult.
Now, you mentioned her on Black Hawk Island, sense of isolation. I think she was sent to college briefly, but then couldn't afford it and went back to the island for quite a while. Did that isolation shape her writing?
I think it did, although she thought of herself as an objectivist poet. The objectivists were a small group, mainly male, mainly urban, mainly leftist poets. She thought of herself as an objectivist, but she was also very interested in the surreal, and she didn't have too much company in the surreal in America. But it shaped, she notices everything about her. Her poetry is about an ear of corn that she walks through. It's about a heron landing on the water. It's about what she sees around her, much, much less than what she hears from other people or other people, the way other people write. I mean, she's unique. She's a unique poet.
She spent, as we've mentioned, most of her life in Wisconsin, except she suddenly upstakes and went to New York. Why and how did that come to pass?
Yes, very strange for Lorraine, except that she had read Louis Zukoski, who was important to her life. He was a New York poet, and he had edited one issue of Poetry Magazine, and she read his treatise on objectivism and wrote him, and he answered back, and then she answered, and he answered, and they struck up a correspondence, and finally it was so intense and so mutually sympathetic that she decided to go to New York, and of course she had to take the bus all the way out there, and ended up meeting Zukoski at the bus station in Manhattan.
And how long was she there?
Oh, this must have lasted perhaps 4 months, 3 months. She found New York terrifying. She said the thought of getting a job there just was over her head. However, she and Zukoski became lovers, and he did introduce her to William Carlos Williams, who is a very, very famous poet, but ironically, only to get her birth control so she wouldn't get pregnant.
And so that ended, and she ended up back in Wisconsin, ended up spending the rest of her life here, is that right?
I think, yes, she did, absolutely. She after she married Al Millen, he was still working in Milwaukee, so she had to move to Milwaukee and spent several years there, always with trips to the island on weekends, and then finally, when he retired, she moved back to Black Hawk Island, where she died in 1970, as you said.
And one of her poems was about Black Hawk, ostensibly at least the historical person. I don't know if the island was wrapped up in the imagery there, too.
Well, she had been working on making biographies of important people in Wisconsin. Of course, Black Hawk, not a native Wisconsin, but he certainly influenced Wisconsin. The Black Hawk Wars were fought partly in Wisconsin. So she had learned about him at the Historical Society. And, of course, she was very aware that Black Hawk had hidden his women and children in the mud in the swamps of Mud Lake near the island to protect them from attack. So she knew that. But she's also fascinated by him as an historical figure and a figure of oppression and also bravery, rather like herself.
And what do you see as her legacy? What mark has she left on the literary world?
I think she's left a legacy of courage and giftedness and the a sense of the power that solitude can bring. She was a very lonely person for much of her life, and she used that loneliness. I think she's an inspiration. She is also green in the sense that we are today, but she was long before, you know, deploring wanton killing of wildlife, deploring littering, deploring expanding populations and trailer courts. So she's a very contemporary person, it seems to me.
Margot, thank you so much for sharing her story with us.
It was a pleasure.
That was Margot Peters, biographer and author of Laureen Niedecker, A Poet's Life.